Kellogg, St. Helena, California, July 1901. Dr. Kellogg, dear brother, Sister Drouillard has just read me your letter from John Wessels. I have not received a word from either Brother Wessels or his wife since they left Australia. Yes, I had one letter from Brother Wessels expressing the belief that Brother Daniels is a bad man. Just as though I do not know Brother Daniels. After Brother Wessels, during his visit to America, made statements which did not bear the slightest semblance of truth, I felt so perplexed that I did not know how to write to him. I am glad that I received no favors from him during his stay in Australia. I was only too glad to receive him and his family into my home. They stayed with us 6 weeks, and I had no thought of taking anything from them. Neither did I take a penny. I think I can understand something of the situation of the sanitarium work in Africa. But I do not think it necessary for me to advise you in this matter, for you fully understand the difficulty. As I heard your letter read, I was convinced that you have done the only thing that you could do. I see no way but for you to keep out of the jam. It will come, and somebody will be hurt. I think you have answered the perplexing questions asked by Brother Wessels as they should be answered. The money the Wessels have in their possession at the present time will be used in such a way that neither themselves nor the cause of God will be in any way benefited. When the Wessels are soundly converted, they will be prepared to know that their human wisdom is foolishness. It is folly for them to attempt to manage a sanitarium, for this they cannot do. The only reason why I was instructed to invite and urge John Wessels to come to Australia was that he and the other members of the Wessels family might be helped. I knew that if John would move away from Cape Town to some place where the Lord could guide him by his Holy Spirit, there would be a chance for the rest of the family to be properly adjusted so that they would not mismanage one another. But John turned away from the Lord's plan, and this has left him where he has developed his natural, unsanctified traits of character. I do not think, I know, that after he reached Cape Town on his return from Australia, he was under the control of satanic agencies. Under these circumstances, the less you weave yourself into the web, the better it will be for you. According to the light God has given me, sore and troublesome annoyances will come. I have been instructed that for a time, your presence is needed at the sanitarium in Battle Creek. There are trials to come to the sanitarium. Its help is not all that it should be. Look not to human beings for wisdom. If we trust in the Lord, nothing can prevail against us. There is a tree of life in Battle Creek to which all have free access. All may pluck and eat of it. My brother, look constantly to Jesus. Eat his flesh and drink his blood. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. If you will walk in the light, your heart and your mind will be under the supervision of God. I must now say to you, my brother, that the work done at College View regarding the bakery does not bear God's endorsement. Work of this character will prove a great injury to you and to all who unite with you in it. On both sides, things were done that grieved the Spirit of God and the heavenly angels. Some of the brethren manifested great anger. But was there not something to provoke this manifestation of passion? Not all on your part was right nor correct. They had made mistakes, but matters could easily have been adjusted if all things relating to this experience had been handled in an unselfish, benevolent, Christian manner. I am instructed to say to you and your associate physician, keep yourself in the love of God. We are all working in the vineyard of the Lord. This one may argue, and that one may argue. When we are filled with love for God and for our fellow men, when we are controlled by the sweet Spirit of Christ, we shall remember that we are working in the Lord's vineyard and that we must strengthen one another's hands. Your brethren, whom you have handled so roughly and in so unchristian a manner, are doing the work God has appointed them, just as verily as you should be doing the work he has appointed you as his physician. One worker is not to supersede or get in the way of and hinder another worker. All parts of God's work are to advance, and part meet parts in God's own Christian brotherly way. God has imparted light and knowledge and skill to his workers to build up his work in one part of the world. He has the same knowledge and skill to give to those who work under his supervision in other parts of the world. He will teach his workers in different localities how to put to the best use the supplies he has provided for the sustenance of life. And while there should be an understanding among the workers, there should never be any superiority. There should be no strife, as was seen at College View. Mercy and justice were not revealed in this transaction. This has left a miserable blot against you, which must be removed. Such things as this hurt your own Christian experience. The Lord has greatly honored you by making you his helping hand. You are to honor him who has exalted you, not as a tyrant, not as a god. You are to do his work with great carefulness, showing much consideration when dealing in business lines, so that none will be tempted to think that the testimony God has given regarding you, to encourage you, cannot be true. Though your Christian brother may not occupy a position equal to yours in prominence, yet he fills a place of usefulness according to his ability. God has come very near you, guiding you and holding your hand. This should lead you to show Christian courtesy in all business matters. You are to be a man of God's opportunity, acting in his place. You, a cedar of the mountain, are to remember that God has cedars of the vale. You have no right to treat your fellow workmen as you did at College View. There was not the least excuse for it. Human attributes lead you astray, and you misrepresent your Redeemer. If you suppose your influence and exalted position justifies you in acting in the way you did, you do not reveal a nobility of soul. You have no wisdom to use authority. I write thus plainly because I know of what I am writing. God has presented to me his view of the transaction. I do not want you to have any wrong upon your soul. I want you to come off more than conqueror. God wants you to stand on the high platform of eternal rectitude. Let not your good be evil spoken of. You have a living Savior. Cling fast to him. Pray, oh pray, that the Lord will reveal himself to you and will maintain you ever to work for him. You must often feel the necessity of dying to self. Then you will not yield to any influence but the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have the greatest interest in you. I understand you better than you understand yourself. It is not only your privilege, it is your duty to seek a character so consistent that sin will find no place in words or actions. Walk wisely in your home. Walk wisely before your patients and your students, that when you bow in prayer, the Lord can hear and answer you. Walk wisely in a perfect way. Let your words be seasoned with the grace of Christ. Let the Christ-likeness of your words and actions be a sign between you and Christ's followers that you walk with God. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let its power strengthen and mellow your disposition. In all your associations, reveal the uplifting principles of heaven, that when your work here shall close, only the fragrance of your good works and words may be remembered. I felt that I must write this now, because at any time I may be called upon to lay off my armor. I am watching and waiting. You need to feel the softening, subduing influence of the grace of Christ. You are certainly in danger of exaggerating your power of authority. This is your danger.